Hello and welcome to this session on Cortana Analytics Suite. My name is Brian Walker and I'm currently a technology solution professional with the data platform team within Microsoft. Previous to this role, I've been in a global team, the Center of Excellences, working with PDW and analytic platform systems, as well as the surrounding technologies of Hadoop and a lot of the advanced analytics that enterprise customers have needed. I've assisted them in understanding the products as well as implementing them to solve business challenges. But enough about me, let's move on to the next piece. Okay, so here's the agenda that we're going to talk about in this session. What is advanced analytics? You know, how does it differ from just the regular BI that you're used to? What is Cortana Analytics? How do we see them in action? How do we differentiate us from others and why would we be thinking about this? So in my normal kind of direction that I take when I go into projects along these lines, I like to start with the end in mind. So before we get too far along on this, I'm going to actually do the demo first. That way, maybe you will be able to get a nice visual in your mind, and we can start talking through the different components of the Cortana Analytics Suite, and you'll have something to reference it back to. Hopefully, this will also allow you to start thinking about how this suite or these components of technology can be used to help solve challenges in your business. So let's get started. Okay, so now we're looking at Power BI. So those who have not noticed Power BI or looked at Power BI before, this is a new visual tool that Microsoft has come out with. And it's really wrapped up the power, you know, kind of the power tool features that were available in the last few versions of Excel. So it's just pulled them together into a nice kind of a wrapper that makes them easier to use and puts them together in an area, you know, that's easily accessible for more people. So one of the things that you might notice on this report is it's no longer a static report like what you would normally see coming out of Excel or coming out of even reporting services within Microsoft's suite. You know, you can see the numbers on the graph are actually changing, and this is based on some of the components within the Cortana Analytics Suite. The Analytics Suite has all of the technologies that you would need to stream data into your reports, like what I'm doing here. So this report is based on two different types of use cases, you know, around the connected car type scenario. Connected cars are the sensors that are in cars, like your tire pressure, your accelerate position, a number of sensors that are already built into most cars, and being used for various things. You know, the manufacturers want to be able to see, hey, you know, is there cars that, you know, are being driven that need of maintenance? What are the things that they can do to help help solve that or, you know, prevent that from happening? The other side of things are, how are the cars being driven? So from an insurance perspective, you know, insurance companies obviously would like to have that information because they could, you know, charge the appropriate rates for people who drive, you know, either aggressively or the, you know, not charge higher rates for those who are driving like they should be. So this report is really broken into two halves. So down this line over here on the left, you'll notice that the numbers are changing and the graphs are changing along with it. To represent what is happening, you know, currently in the group of cars that I have connected to, you know, to this report. On the right side is our traditional batch mode. You know, so we have, you know, things that we're looking at that we don't need to necessarily know real time, but we want to know, and we want to report out on. And so I have a batch stream that goes through just, you know, each night and looks at, you know, the cars that were driven over the day and how were they being driven, and, you know, breaks them down into different, you know, slices of information so I can analyze that and better make decisions for the company. So this is part of Cortana. Power BI is a component of the Cortana Analytics Suite. Power BI also has three different kind of components within it. One, dashboards, which is what we're on right now. And this allows users to actually customize this to pretty much anything they want. So you can provide a dashboard for your users, and then you can allow them to enable it to be, you know, they can customize it. So I can come up here to any one of these tiles and I can say, hey, I don't like this one. I can go delete that tile. I can also go in and start asking questions about the data. So one of the things that you want to start thinking about when you're using Power BI is, yes, you'll have standard reports. So you might come in and say, hey, you know, this looks interesting to me. And if you click on it, it will drill you down into a report that has more details around that information. So you have, you can still think in terms of reports that you're used to providing to your customers, but you can also go through and start thinking about things in terms of, you know, data sets. So most reports back in my day when I was working with analytics and, you know, in the BI world, you know, we would build a lot of reports that were based on just different slices and different views of, you know, the same data. You know, but in order to provide our end users and our customers the reports that they needed, we had to provide many different reports. With Power BI, we've taken a different approach. We have this next level down, which are called data sets. So data sets, you can see in this case, I have one that's for connected car, the real time, which is my connected cars running right now. And then I have a batch, you know, which is, again, that may be that dump of data, or it may be all the data that I've collected throughout the day from that real-time stream that I run through a different process, a batch process. But I can have two different types of sources. I can actually have many sources. I've got some reports that I'd have, you know, 10 or 11 different data sources from, you know, things that are, could be just in Excel and could be in databases, could be, you know, any number of different places. The number of connectivity, or at least last count that I had, there was 41 actual, you know, native connectors out, you know, going out of Power BI to different data sources, plus the generic ODBC, OData, you know, the generic, you know, drivers that you have that you can connect to pretty much anything else. But we have a lot of different data sources that we can go through and source data from, things like, you know, Salesforce and different systems that an enterprise would have. So thinking in terms of data sets takes us to a different realm. You know, because now it's like, okay, you know, where I've had slices of data in the past that I needed to provide in different reports, and we, you know, could still make those reports. Now, when we get up into this dashboard, you have the ability of turning on this, what we call natural language query. So if I came up and wanted to ask a question of the data, so something like average accelerator rater pedal position, since it actually kind of knows what the words are. So this is giving me average over everything. It's like, yeah, but I, you know, that's not really what I want. By model. All right, so it's gonna go through and say, oh, by model, and it's gonna give you a visualization that it feels is best for the type of data that you're asking for. It'll tell you right here where the source is coming from. It tells me, okay, I'm getting this information from that connected car real-time data set, and that's what's predicted here. But I may not be, you know, maybe I don't like bar graphs. That's a lot of color on the page. I can also tell it, hey, as line chart, if I can get my cursor to stay up there, and I can change the visualization into pretty much anything I want. You know, if I get into things that are you know, spatial in relation, it's going to start putting it onto a map. Otherwise, you know, it's going to pick what the best visualization is for the data. Now, I can also come up and say, hey, if I want to add this to my dashboard, I just come to this pin, and it will pin that visualization. Now, this doesn't work as well during a recording because it pulls up a verification screen that doesn't come with the recording that I can accept on. But know that you can come through and hit this pin, and it will pin that to your dashboard. So that way, you can ask it questions that the person who created this report may not even have thought of, or it may not even have been in the requirements that you need, or that were provided to that data analyst to go forth and build that report. So that's one option, you know, that you can go through. You know, the other thing is you can go in and do a lot of interesting things like get insights. If you tell it to get insights, now I'm not going to run this right now because it takes a little bit of time. And what it's going to do is Cortana is going to go through all the data sets that you have and look at the different trends and outliers and things in that data. And she will come back and give you a list of, you know, here's something that I spotted in the data, and give you kind of a narrative around that. You know, if you've got Windows 10 and you've got Cortana set up on Windows 10, she will actually start talking to you and can give you that information. So then you start getting into that voice natural language query, where you can just start asking Cortana questions, and she will go through, look at your data, and start providing that information back to you. You know, you don't even have to be sitting there at your screen. You can be doing something else and just be talking to your computer that might be sitting there, you know, on the desk or in the room next to you. So this is the Power BI section of this. You know, again, it allows streaming of data. So this, you know, from my past experience, obviously the majority of the world in the business would like to have, you know, more real-time data. And this Cortana Analytics Suites allows us to get to that in a much nicer, cleaner method than anything that's been available up to this point, while still providing the batch and providing now new visuals in different ways that you know, makes it look nicer. Again, the open source, you know, Microsoft has also embraced the open source community so that we can go through and start providing or start allowing you to provide. So in this case, it's telling me, hey, there's a, you know, due to security, you've got to approve the use of this visualization. And that's because this visualization is not one that was provided by Microsoft. It's one that I created on the outside of it. And it's going to ask you, hey, verify that it's okay before you start running it. So I can come in and give a star, you know, star graph, and create any type of visualization that I like, you know, even though Microsoft hadn't provided one. So now you've got any number of visualizations that you have that you want. And we also have a gallery where you can go out and look at other visualizations that other companies have created to solve challenges or you know, provide visualizations that they need, that they have shared with the community because they felt like, hey, this was a good one. It worked out well for us. Other people might be interested in it. You can go out and download those. You know, obviously, you want to run the security and take a look at the code that they're running and make sure that it's all, you know, legit for your, you know, before you implement it. But it gives you that ability to build them either internal or pull from the gallery. So keep this in mind as we start talking about the rest of the components, and we'll talk about what's driving this real-time action here, as well as, again, the, you know, the standard batch type action. So we'll be moving to the next slide, and we'll get into deeper into the components of what Cortana actually brings to the table. Okay, now that you've seen kind of the output of the Power BI portion of that, let's talk about what's included in the Cortana Analytics Suite. Obviously, the Power BI is one component that you, is the kind of the visualization in the face of what you'd see in the suite. But there's a, you know, I kind of look at that as the tip of the iceberg, and there's a ton of stuff running around under the covers that will allow you to make that, you know, live dashboard live and to help drive things into that space. So let's look at what's going on. So Cortana really is just a suite of tools that are already really available out in the wild, out in Azure today. So it's not like it's a whole new component. It's really just a kind of a, you know, Microsoft's way of trying to make the licensing a little bit easier, because we do hear a lot of feedback on the licensing is so complex you need a PhD to just figure out what it is, you know, what you got. So this is, you know, kind of designed for companies who are doing this type of work to make it easy for them to say, hey, I just want a Cortana Analytics Suite, and they know that they've got all the components underneath the covers that they need to drive this type of, you know, advanced analytics. So let's look a little bit about what it's designed for. So there are some, you know, pre-configured solutions that we have out there in the world that you can just pick up and start using on your own. It's ones that either Microsoft has built for, you know, other customers with the agreement that it would become, you know, just standard IP. So things like recommendation engines, things, you know, the recommendation engine, like what you'd see in some of the websites where, hey, you looked at this item on our website. People who also looked at this item also, you know, found interest in these other items. Those types of standard recommendation engines. So there's those types of engines. There's forecasting engines for various things. There's customer churn models. And these can all be found in the gallery within the Azure Machine Learning. You know, so where you're looking at that machine learning and the statistical model analysis of your data to be able to help you predict and drive, you know, what's going to happen based on, you know, the scenarios that I've seen from this person clicking through our web page today or what have you. You know, there's a number of those pre-built out there in the suite. You know, obviously Cortana, we talked about Cortana, you know, your personal digital assistant is, you know, again, just another step in how do we make the data more available to the end user. some of the perceptual intelligent pieces. So, you know, the facial recognition, the vision and speech recognition, the text analytics, these are things that people are now implementing in you know, new and different ways now that you have things like HD Insights, Hadoop, you know, and the power of being able to you know, chew through that massive amount of data. So I know I've got, you know, the company I used to work for, we would record all of the customer service calls that came into our data call center. You know, back in the day when I worked for them before Microsoft, and you know, we knew that, you know, we would get to probably about 5, maybe 10% of those calls to actually, you know, monitor them or review them, you know, because it really meant somebody sitting there listening through all that to figure out what was going on. Now with tools like Hadoop, you can actually run those calls through, take that speech recognition and convert that into text. You can, you know, do different things on it. You can also take and take the tone and tenor of that speech, you know, either the person calling in, the customer, or the rep answering the phone call, and figure out, hey, this, you know, person calling in is a little high rate, but the person on the phone, the customer account rep answering the call, did a very good job of, you know, handling, you know, that customer's concerns. So you can start getting into that kind of tone and tenor, and they're actually taking and saying, hey, we're now ranking our phone associates based on how good they can handle these types of scenarios. And then actually taking and pushing that information and driving into call routing and things along that line. So it's, you know, it's opened up a lot more information. And again, kind of the whole big data challenge that customers have now, that is one of those things. It's like, you know, we've got all this call record information we could be using a whole lot more efficiently or to drive more, a better positive customer experience if we could get our hands around it. You know, things like Hadoop that allows you to spin up, you know, cheap commodity hardware, you know, or in this case in Azure, you don't even have to own the hardware. You can just spin up the cluster, you can run that type of bulk job against it, and you can spin that cluster down. Same thing with Azure Data Lake Analytics servers. Services are made specifically for that, as well as, again, the storage behind it. So there's a lot of different pieces that are inside a Cortana Analytics suite to help give you the tools you need to drive those types of analytics. So Power BI, you know, and Cortana are kind of the face, but underneath the covers, you've got machine learning. You know, machine learning is going to be, you know, the things that are going to be that, you know, driving that recommendation engine or that forecast or that churn. in the previous Power BI report that we looked at, I had actually two different machine learning algorithms running. One was looking at the sensors in the car to determine, okay, this car actually is in need of service because, you know, the oil's a little low, the, you know, pressure is this, and, you know, it's looking at a number of different, you know, input components and determining, you know, just a, hey, needs service, doesn't need service, or the probability that it's going to break down shortly, you know, and trying to send that back to manufacturers and saying, okay, how do we get that information back to the customer so that they can, you know, other than this, you know, straight check engine light, you know, take that car in for service. The other one was, again, that aggressive driving, looking at how they accelerate away from, you know, from a 0 to 60, you know, they're always pushing it and revving the engine and doing things, you know, taking that analytics and saying, here, based on all the sensor readings, this is a kind of an aggressive driver versus this is a driver who's, you know, driving closer to a fuel economy or a very fuel efficient method or way of driving. So the machine learning opens up a lot of that deep statistical modeling that you've had to have data scientists for, or, you know, a big group of statisticians. Now, granted, you still will need some of those just from an oversight perspective, but the tool allows people that may just be data analysts that know the data and go in and pull that information together, makes that very easy and much more accessible to a lot more people that with, you know, some oversight from a data scientist can start driving a lot more of those models. The other nice thing about machine learning from Azure is we have a very simple way to productionalize that model once it's once you've trained it and you've got it to where you want it. It's a one click and it turns it into an API that you can call from, again, pretty much anywhere, a connected car can call it. And, you know, it can also stream straight into your dashboard, which is what I was doing. We'll get into the architecture of what I was doing in a minute, just to show you some of these components. But I also have some HD Insights, a Hadoop work that we were doing in that stream. Data Lake, which is a new, new service that's just available out in preview right now. There's two components of that. There's a Data Lake Storage and Data Lake Analytics Service. And these are, to address the growing data size. So the Data Lake no longer has any type of high-end limit to it. And the Data Analytic, Data Lake Analytics Service allows you to spin up that HDI region or, various flavors of Hadoop to run this type of analysis against that data without having to go through a lot of overhead. And you don't have to leave the cluster running, and it's just helping to make the IT spend a bit more efficient. Azure Stream Analytics, so that's a component that actually does complex event processing. So I had, again, one of those in that stream, which was doing a couple things. We'll take a look at that in the next slide on the architecture piece. Data Factory is, you can kind of think of that as the SSIS or the data orchestration in the cloud. So it's controls that whole flow of data through things, especially in the batch mode or collecting from various sources or what have you. That data factory drives all that. Your data catalog is what's storing all your metadata. So as you start wanting to track and trend and see how that data transforms as it makes its way through the path, we have the Azure Data Catalog to help start storing all that information for you. And then you have, your ingestion point. Event Hub, is a part of the service bus, which is standard messaging coming out of pretty much any app. You can go into Event Hub, which then could be picked up by Stream Analytics and then sent down the road. And that's, again, what we're using here for, for that next, for the reporting that you were seeing. Sorry. So here's a, kind of just a high level architecture of what was driving that report. So what you were seeing was at this end was the Power BI dashboard. But I had two different streams. As I mentioned, the data sources or data sets that I had in Power BI, one of them was a streaming data set and the other one was a batch data set. So let's take a look at the streaming one first. So basically, this is an app that's running in the car that is collecting all those sensor information, packaging it up into a message, and sending it out to Service Bus, which in directly is actually going to Event Hub, which is a piece of Service Bus. It stores that message and can store the message for up to 7 days, varying degrees depending on what you've got it configured for. But then I have Azure Stream Analytics, which is going and reading, going through every few seconds and looking at that Event Hub and saying, hey, is there any messages out here for me to look at? When it finds one, when it finds a record, and these, Stream Analytics or, components are built for high volumes of messaging. So a million records or a million messages a second is what I've heard through the community where I've had people implementing it and can handle a pretty large stream of data coming through here. I've got this Stream Analytics, again, as the complex event processing portion of it, doing three things. One is it goes down and it just takes that raw data stream that comes in out of the car and writes it out to, it can either be the storage blob, it could be Data Lake, either one of the Azure storage mechanisms, I can just write it straight out to there. In its raw form. And that way I can go and run Hadoop instances and jobs against it and do different things with it. I am also actually reading from a lookup file that resides out in the storage blob. I'm reading that data and basically joining it with the stream of data coming out of the car. So now that's where I was picking up, okay, based on this VIN, if I look up that VIN number, I know, oh, that's an SUV or that's a station wagon or the type of model it is. So that's the kind of the VIN lookup of getting me down into a model classification. From there, I'm taking the join of that data and I'm sending it into another Event Hub, which calls an app service. Now this stuff is getting ready to get much easier. We're working on making the call into the machine learning API easier. Right now, it's just an app service that calls because it needs the send response type of communication it has between machine learning. Is it going to send out that stream of data, send it out to the API? The API is going to come back with that probability and classification of whether it's it needs maintenance or not, and then it streams out of that into Power BI. I'm also taking and saying, all right, you know, I want to keep this data in my database, but I don't necessarily want this all the raw data. So I'm taking actually an average of each of the sensors out of each of the cars on a what they call a tumbling 5 seconds. So every, you know, over the last 5 seconds, the average accelerator position has been X. And taking writing that down, so now I've only got a record for once every 5 seconds versus, you know, every sensor reading that's coming in, you know, for every potentially split second of the while the car's in use. And it's writing down, it can write into Azure Data Warehouse, you know, which is the large MBP, massively parallel processing, you know, option within in Azure, or you could write it into a standard Azure SQL database, you know, which is you know, the S&P, the standard, you know, flavor of SQL that most people are used to using. Azure SQL Data Warehouse, you know, just allows you to scale to petabytes of data and be able to do, you know, like a PDW or an APS type use case in the cloud. So you can take and spread that data across, you know, multiple compute nodes or compute resources so that you can actually, you know, query through large amounts of data in a very fast amount of time using still a relational data warehouse. So I've got it dropping in there. And then as it comes through and pulls in the rest of this bulk stream or batch stream, you know, it comes in and builds out the other side of that report in the Power BI. Now, as the data comes in and sits in the storage blob, there's some things that I want to do to the other data that comes in. I want to do some normalization. I need to do some cleansing on it. You know, I build out that dim, the dimension table that is saying, okay, here's the, based on VIN ID, here's a lookup as the date into the model type, things along that lines. I can do, use, you know, HD Insights as a, you know, very powerful kind of an ETL tool or data cleansing tool. And then that, you know, feeds, you know, gets, preps the data in order to get fed into that machine learning model for the aggressive driving piece. Now, what orchestrates all of this is Data Factory. So Data Factory across this whole value chain right through here allows the data to flow through in the right order and manages all of that for you. So these are just some of the components, again, that are part of the Cortana Analytics Suite, but how it kind of goes together to drive that end report, which is what most people are really looking for. They're not worried about all the little pieces under the puzzle, under the covers here. But what they really want is the report, you know. And as I said, you know, we were always getting asked for, hey, we want more real-time data. Instead of it being every day, I want it to be every hour. I want it to be every 15 minutes. I want it to be whatever. You know, with being able to now take that stream of data as it's generated from whatever source it is, if it's writing some type of message, if it's an app of some sort, it's typically writing a message. You can then take and, yeah, feed that into your data warehouse, you know, from whichever direction you want, but you can also stream it straight to the report. So you don't have to go through the normal, write it to the database, you know, to a transactional database, then move that to, you know, through an ETL process to a, you know, data warehouse and get it cleansed and all that, and then feed it through to the report. Those are all the steps that take a lot of time that usually keep you from getting to a truly real-time reporting, and it's, you know, always what we call near real-time because it's as near as we can get and still be able to do all of that stuff. So this allows you to take a kind of a different path to it, still write it into the database, so you still have your tracking back of the actual granular data all the way down to that level. So you can drill through back into it. So, all right, so as we look at the advanced analytics, what is really going on here? So how is it different from standard traditional BI? So this graph basically shows, you know, the left side is traditional BI, and that's basically where you're looking at what happened. You're looking at the historic data to kind of describe what had happened and analyze why did it happen, things along that lines. And that's, you know, kind of where most companies have been, you know, up to this point. The places that they want to go is typically to, you know, okay, now that I know what's happened, how do I predict what's getting ready to happen? How do I plan for something that's happening, going to happen? So in the event of, you know, say if you're manufacturing and you've got machines and robotic machines that are building your product for you, and you can start looking at sensors in those robotic machines and start to understand, hey, when I start seeing these characteristics or these patterns in the data, I can actually, you know, tell based on historic performance that in the next, you know, day, I'm going to have an outage or I'm going to have that machine stop working on me for whatever reason. You know, that way I can start planning predictive maintenance and be able to start prevent that from happening so that I don't have expensive downtime when my production line should be running. I've got people with very high dollar amounts associated to minutes down on a manufacturing line. So if you can predict that type of event from before it happens and schedule it into your standard maintenance that you may have nightly or what have you, then that will save your company tons of time. We do have, again, in the machine learning space, we have in our gallery, predictive maintenance algorithms that are already there that are, to help you get started on plugging and flowing, having the flow of your information flow into that algorithm to help start, predicting those types of outages for you. So I, recommend that you go out and look at the gallery for machine learning and look at all of the different types of, experiments that people have already put together that you can use as a basic starting point. So you're not having to start from scratch on this stuff. You can just pull it straight in, start using it. Some of it's free, some of it may be, a charge if you start using, if you start running millions of things through there, it might be a charge. But just take a look at what they've got, and see, if that can help you get started. So in a lot of cases, it makes a lot of sense. So that's in that predictive maintenance, in predictive analytics type space. But we also want to go as far as, all right, how do we start affecting, how things happen? You start getting into, deeper and deeper usage of, machine learning and, pulling in a wider range of data coming in that may be even from outside of your organization. You can take that information and pull it into models that can start giving you, what do we need to do to try to make this happen? So it gets to be a much more advanced, use case than what you're used to in a standard reporting scenario. So what's the differentiator between, Microsoft and other, items and products out in the world? So we're trying to get things set to be very accessible. With Microsoft's acquisition of Revolution R, we now have the tools to take the R language, which is very popular throughout the, the modeling world, and make it, bring it to enterprise grade. That's what Revolution did. But we're also bringing that R, as well as Python, into, machine learning. So you can pick that code up that you may already have written in R and drop it straight into an Azure machine learning experiment and just take advantage of, the ease of our taking that model and turning it into a productionable, API that you can then call very easily versus, having to go through iterations and iterations of IT trying to take that and figure out, okay, how do we get that into best practices? So it's giving you that as a portal, giving you, accessibility to the tools. It's giving you, ease of ability to get that data into visualizations and into your end users so that they can help drive a lot of the extra business value out of that data. So. And again, try to make it as easy as possible to make it, get to the market. So here are the types of some of the example solutions that we've already got kind of pre-built. You got sales forecasting, you got demand forecasting, lead scoring, market mix and optimization. We got some finance and risk, examples that are in fraud detection and credit risk management. Customer channels, user segmentation. So, how do I segment out a pool of users to get to identify, a slice of those users that we can make offers to that will make us a bit more profitable because it might be kind of spreading that line or pulling in a few more users that other companies may be dodging because they don't have the intelligence to segment those out as still being good users. So. You can personalize the offers and product recommendations. Again, that recommendation engine that I was talking to earlier. Operational, agent allocation, warehouse efficiency, smart buildings are, and smart metering are very large. I've worked with a bunch of power and electric companies and oil and gas, taking the smart meters and things and trying then to make sure that they understand the power usage. And they can help drive, okay, do we need to spin up, another power station, or do we need to unlock some of the turbines on windmills, because we need the extra power, or what's the sales rate, and can we sell it off if we're generating it and we're generating too much? Can we still sell that power off and make a profit at it? So a lot of different different use cases that we've already got in this in the gallery. And it's to start answering some of those questions, that your customers are asking you. I won't go through all these. You can take a look at those later. But, it's, getting you to that point to where you've now got the power with machine learning and the streaming, the ease of getting the data from various sources, whether it's your databases that you already have, or it might be pulling in, somewhat unstructured data from outside that you just drop into Hadoop or into Data Lake. And you can then do some analysis across that, or the Power BI has, Spark connectors, so they can connect directly into a Spark cluster or into a Hadoop cluster. So there's just that whole pulling all of the data back together, because in this world, not all of the data that you'll want to use to make decisions are going to be data that you've generated within your company. You're going to pull in outside influences or sentiment analysis or things along that lines. So, thank you for your time. I hope this was, beneficial to you. We could circle around on, deeper dives into some of these components if feedback suggests. And, thank you.